the whole point of relativity. It depends upon your frame of reference. There are some systems in which the frame of reference is important. There are others where the frame of reference is unimportant. The one that's unimportant is the speed of light. If you're sitting there and you have a flashlight, you turn on the flashlight, and the light is coming out of the flashlight, it's going out far from you at the speed of light. If you somehow could ride backwards while you were using that flashlight, the speed of light is not additive. It's not the speed of light plus 60 miles per hour. It's still the speed of light. So there are some things that are relative to the frame of reference, and there are others, unfortunately, that aren't and confuse the heck out of us.
Yeah, with the frequency, I think the frequency changes if you're going to stop moving backwards from that light. No, it's not the same light. It's now changing the, you know, you're actually, you know, if you're moving, you're stretching that wave out. So now it's not a regular light. It might be now shifting toward the red part of the spectrum as time goes on. If you go fast enough, you're going to straighten it all the way out. It's not going to even be in the red. It's going to be completely, almost stopped. I think that was one of his thought experiments.
System connection, Shannon. Speed connection, excuse me, interesting.
How many zeros are behind the decimal point, but I will agree with that theory. And there are many, many, many zeros behind that decimal point, yes.
West recognized, by the way, Doppler shifts were around long before relativity, and yes, light will Doppler shift, the wavelength and frequency will change, but the speed of the wave itself, the speed at which the information that the light is carrying, cannot go beyond the speed of light in a vacuum. That's a whole ball of wax in the general theory of relativity and mentioned to a degree in the special theory of relativity.
There is a constant. There is a constant, but there are many, many factors in velocity that affect the constant.
Okay, I agree. We had another station. You had Wesley out there, and I know you recognize him. You might want to go over to him, Roy.
Wes, come on in!
Actually, I have no objection. That's always right. The only thing is that talking about flashing back, photons cannot interfere with each other. They don't see each other. Interaction.
Yes, Wesley, I agree. But as I said before, in some cases of very high photon energy, they can decompose to matter-antimatter pairs, and those can interact with themselves and with photons.
Say more. Interaction.
Okay, but it'll probably just be repeating myself. No, positrons and electrons annihilate each other, producing photons. Photons also can decompose into matter-antimatter pairs as well. It happens it's more likely to happen when the photon is very high energy and its total mass energy is greater than two particles that can be created. And under those circumstances, when a high-energy photon decomposes into a matter-antimatter pair of particles, those massive objects can act as the point of interaction with other photons running through that stream. So the photons themselves cannot interact as photons, but they can change into something that will interact with the photon.
I agree with that too. But that would be nothing more like classical interaction of photon with anything else but not a photon.
Well, yeah, because it would not be a photon. It would be a particle-antiparticle pair, which isn't a photon. So, yes, it would be that. I don't know if it kind of lends itself well to classical physics. I think, again, it's more in the realm of quantum physics, where it's possible to have particle-wave dualities and to have mass and and energy interacting and going back and forth. Neutrinos go back and forth. There are different types of neutrinos, and one type of neutrino can go a certain distance and then spontaneously change into another type of neutrino. But usually particles are a little bit more well-behaved than neutrinos are. And photons, for the most part, are well-behaved. But high-energy photons, you never know what'll happen.
Very much correct. Okay. I'm going to be listening. I just tweaked into the discussion. I'm very sure.
D2RY?
Yes, David.
Tell me, Roy, what is inevitable? Go ahead.
What is inevitable is the question, what is one hand clapping? That's what's inevitable.
That's not the answer.
I'm just a theoretical physicist at heart. I leave philosophy and spirituality to you guys.
But, you know, even science and all theories and all of this, you know, it all adds up to something, and then, you know, there's something beyond that. That's all I wanted to say. What's inevitable is change. Things change all the time. Go ahead.
Okay, but that's also called the arrow of time. So time always goes forward, except at the birth of the universe, when no one quite knows what the heck happened about time. Did time begin at the beginning of the universe, or did it begin before the universe? And when did it begin, and how did it begin, and why did it begin, and what the hell is it all about? You know, there's still going to be an endless stream of mysteries. I happen to like something called the super string theory, which is semi-ridiculous. It believes in something like 11 dimensions in space-time, and the fact that we live in a multiverse of an almost infinite number of four-dimensional universes kind of stuck in a membrane of 11 dimensions of space-time. But you're free to have your own theory.
So, QSL, I guess, you know, sometimes I think about, like, branding, and I think about people. Maybe one person invented time to create all of these, you know, how we think about it and how we live. Perhaps they just wanted to create it to make mankind suffer. I don't know.
Time is counting. We know that. It's a portion of counting. It's one of the elements of counting.
Well, how we think is not that important as what makes us think.
To say, you know, to offer people the possibility of a better quality of life. They can see it, you know, from
Okay. Time is counting. If we can't count, we can't measure. We don't measure, we don't know who we are.
We never know who we are.
Measure. We measure. Time is only one of the elements of measuring.
Well, measurements and judgments can be damaging to you. I guess the question is how we can use them.
Say judgment. But I didn't say judgment. I said measurement. Time is one of the measurements, and we measure.
Well, really, time is a measurement of change. If you define a system where there is no change, time becomes somewhat meaningless.
It's a measurement of revolution. It's a measurement of revolution, not change. Change is a different factor that fits within time.
Let me look, Dr. Roy.
To QMU, listening, and have some comments.
Comment away.
I was listening before, but I didn't have a good signal about the stuff that goes in dark, and phosphorus was probably one of the first chemicals that was discovered that glows in the dark, and the way that works is as it evaporates, it reacts with oxygen, and the vapor, I guess, combusts and causes it to glow in the dark, but that is not the not really used to glow in the dark these days. After the radium, they found a mineral called zinc sulfide in New Jersey, and that's what they used in glow in the dark clocks after radium was decided that it was bad. And now they have a new chemical called strontium aluminate, and it glows much longer, like 24 hours, by absorbing light the way zinc sulfide does. And that's some of the chemicals that are used these days for the glow-in-the-dark effect.
WS2N, so none of those chemicals that you mentioned are radioactive, is that true?
No, they absorb light, and their electrons are lifted to higher energy levels and stay there for a certain amount of time, and then over that period of time, as the electrons fall down into lower orbits, they release the light on a certain color depending on impurities. For example, zinc sulfide with a little bit of copper in it will glow green. Zinc sulfide with a little bit of silver in it.
Well, that's good to know. Very good. Okay, so they work similar to phosphorus. They're absorbing light and giving that up as the material changes state. That sounds good. Roy, over to you. AC2GSWS1.
Yes, thank you. AC2GS. There's a difference between phosphor burning, which is what happens when it's combined with oxygen. It's combustible material. And the phosphorescence in phosphor compounds. All hams kind of have seen phosphor glow in their cathode ray tube. The electrons excite the phosphorus. It emits a photon. And they can even see an after image, because depending upon the type of phosphors used, some of them have a rapid decay and some have a prolonged decay. But they're all different versions of phosphorescence, which is a quality named after phosphor because that was the first phosphorescent material found. The same way that ferromagnetism is called ferro for iron, even though nickel and a few other elements are capable of ferromagnetism. So it's not quite the phosphor burning that gives it the phosphorescence. It's, as you said, an electron raising up to a higher energy level, holding on to a while, and then decaying at a slow rate to maintain a glow. And by putting different impurities, you change the band gap of the energy level of the electron, and so when it drops down, it drops down a little bit shorter, a little bit longer, and you get a slightly different color. Yeah. It's chemistry is fun.
WS2N. I like chemistry, but I found it difficult, unfortunately, with all their formulas, the way it was taught in school. You know, maybe it's done differently nowadays. Boy, that was a tough subject. I liked it, but boy, and I, you know, they could lose a student. 1, 2, 3.
Input.
Yes, George?
Understood what was just said, WSJN. I understood. I actually learned more about it as I got older. I don't know if it was for me, but maybe it was the way it was taught, as you just described. Possibly the delivery of the curriculum or the descriptive delivery of the curriculum, it was not registering as I got older. Wow, did it all come together. KD2FIU.
Yeah, 100% right. KD2FIU. I agree 100%. I hope things are different now. I'm not sure how they are. But as time marches on, I hope the teaching world improves like some of the products that have come along over the years. have improved. Roy, over to you, and look at the clock. Well, we got to talk about time. We're up to 11:30. Back to you, Roy, WS2N.
AC2GS. Well, it depends upon so many different things. It depends upon the teacher. If you have a disinterested or confused teacher, lots of luck, you're in trouble. So you need an engaged, intelligent teacher. And then you have to be kind of ready for the information. If you're indifferent to it, if you're confused, if you don't want to make the effort, if it doesn't relate to you for some strange reason, then you're going to miss it entirely. Balancing equations is a very small part of chemistry. There are real deep, strange things in chemistry. There is biochemistry, which is the roadmap of how a single cell is doing a million different things simultaneously, and a lot of them are connected with each other with positive and negative feedback and all manner of things. There's a spectrum analysis, which is part of chemistry, which has a lot to do with quantum mechanics and solving Heisenberg's equation for the electron. It goes all over the damn place. So, you know, balancing an equation can be tedious. I mean, I didn't want to do that for a living, because to me that would be the same as getting a CPA and being an accountant, which is not to say we don't need accountants. It's just not my idea of how to spend my life. So,
oh, having fun.
I agree that the point of the exercise is to have fun and not harm anyone. I think both of those things.
In next exercises, how many Barry Manilow songs do you remember? Just kidding.
It's good that we have ham radio. I would say a lot of things I've learned as an adult was through ham radio. I mean, the guys on the air do so much about all these different topics. So you have to find an interest, whatever it might be. It might be music. You can surround everything around that, math, science, sound and vibrations, or, you know, some other specific topic, you know, which may be the space program. And you take one thing, and then a lot of different fields of science, math, and history, you know, conversion, and become part of that one topic. I think it's important to find one particular thing that somebody's interested in, and I think that helps. Back to you, Roy.
I tend to think it's a matter of curiosity. If you're curious about something and you find a source of information that's engaging, that helps the curiosity, it builds on itself, and you learn more and more and more. I mean, I have learned so many great things on the air, and yet, every so often, unfortunately, I have bumped into guys who are very proud to say that they've been hams for 50 years, and I don't know what the heck they were talking about. Their sandwiches that they had for lunch the day before, or the weather in Spokane, I don't know, because a lot of them don't really have a clue about things. I've heard the most curious beliefs about electromagnetics, that radio frequencies are waves, but high energy light is photons. But if the wavelength is too long, it gets tired, and that's why it doesn't travel that long. And I've heard kind of ridiculous things on the air. So curiosity and a good BS meter. I think those are the two things you need.
Oh, of course, I know exactly what you mean, Lori. No, I mean, you do have to be able to filter out what makes sense and what doesn't make sense when you're listening to any of this stuff. I mean, going through school, you have to trust the teachers, hope they're telling you the right thing, and that holds true in life too, not only ham radio but everything. More tall tales out there than honest truth. Back to you, Roy.
G2R1.
Yes, David.
I think ham radio is great. You know, for me, it's about getting what I want out of it, you know. If there's some fantasy there, great. If there's some truth there, great. You know, and I think it's also about access, which, you know, is the best thing, I think, about ham radio. The people that you can meet, which you wouldn't meet anywhere else. Go ahead.
Hey, say something.
George.
David, the word access is right. Access to communication, access to other people. You better believe it. That is the word. KG2RY, you said it all. Thank you.
Welcome, sir. Have a fantastic night. Nice to meet you.
Thanks, you.
Dave, we've talked before. It's KD2FIU, George in Queens. We've talked before. I think we have even worked simplex from the Manhattan to Queens locations, man. Good to hear you. And you're right. It's the access to talking with other people. It's the greatest thing.
Tell George, nice to make your acquaintance again. I know we spoke before. I don't know if this is a special net, a tech net, or, you know, some discussion. So I give it back to Roy, and he can direct the next person.
Thank you, David. I think the next person is Leslie.
Look, Roy, I'm pleasantly surprised. There is nothing that I can really say. So could you tell me something about it more? Is this going to be like every technical discussion? I love it. Thank you.
Well, Leslie, I'm glad you're enjoying it. I'm enjoying it as well, so it's a win-win. This is what they do not call a zero-sum game. Zero-sum games in game theory is where there's loss, there's gain. I think that with things like this, there's gain, and then there's just more gain. And, they, you know, that's one of the beauties of amateur radio. I can sit here and ramble on and entertain a few people and be entertained by them, whereas if I got a soapbox and went to a nearby park and started to say these words, probably they'd call the cops on me.
My question was, is it going to be TechNet, or is it just one time event?
Okay, Wesley, the way it sort of works is I'm taking John's KC2WGB job as the mailbag guy, but tonight Dick had to go to the airport to pick up his wife, so he had to leave early. So I'm kind of picked. So I'll be on the air every week as the mailbag guy, and I will read emails and make my little comments from the peanut gallery. But this is a kind of unusual one where Dick had to leave early. That's the story in a nutshell.
82FIU, your signals are dropping out. Signals are dropping out.
I don't know if it's dropping out or there's someone playing games in the background.
Yeah, I mean, this is a good suggestion. Maybe somebody's going to like this. It could be like sometimes people who want to have the discussion.
Again, and I'll listen to you on the input because someone's playing games.
Okay, so I need more power. Enter it.
Yeah, then you were fine, but I don't know if it's the volume or the power level or the other guy got tired of pushing his push-to-talk button. I don't know. Once again, this is, I think, a kind of a special tech net, for good or for bad. We'll find out when the emails come. But this is an unusual case. I mean, you know, depending upon Dick, if he wants to kind of open it up to blue sky physics, we can do that. I'm more than happy to play with physics, as you well know. But this is Dick's show, and we run by Dick's rule.
Okay, wonderful. Well, I would love to have a detection that would be like I can easily add the nuclear reactor home safety. I wouldn't be coming for the not on the topic of kind of directing. So I'm really pushed for that is that we have a talk some other whatever we need or enjoy and to achieve.
To repeat, it's not anybody stepping on West, it's the repeater.
I beg to differ, George, because I'm listening on the input, and I'm getting the same doubling on his input. So unless the repeater goes in both directions, I don't think so.
Listening on his input, and I'm about 2 miles, not even a mile and a half, 1.5 miles away.
Okay, that's the problem. You're very close to him, and you're far away from the guy who's playing around with him. So you're getting a nice, clean signal. I'm getting both of their signals.
The USLN? Yeah, we just don't even talk about these things. We just let it go. Eventually, it gets taken care of. We don't even acknowledge that there is a problem. Back to you, Roy.
Okay, Doug. Well, let's just go back to the subjects at hand. If anyone has any other little comments, questions, statements, or such during this very special TechNet.
Well, very good. Wes, it's good to hear you, George, KD2FIU, and hope you can hear me well, and keep going. Let's go with the conversation.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. So humoristic question to Dr. Roy. Did you wish it would be the simplest way to get a reaction at your home? What would you say to go for?
Wesley, I unfortunately can you kind of hit your over thrusters and kind of send out a more powerful signal, because about half of your words are totally lost to me.
Okay, how about now?
Well, right now it's okay, but we'll see. You know, state what you said before, and I'll tell you if I am able to understand it all.
Well, I don't know if that's funny and humoristic, but it's, if you were to do a nuclear reaction at home, where would you to go for if it happens?
Okay, I heard something about a nuclear reaction in a home, but unfortunately missing a bunch of those little things between. So let's try this one. Maybe since George can hear you perfectly, maybe George can relay. So George, can you relay?
I'm hearing him being stepped on. Wes, come back. N2XJN, KD2FIU.
Okay, I'm going to speak a little bit, louder. Dr. Roy, if you were asked to make a reaction at a hut, how would you make it safely?
I'm sorry, Wes. I can't make out most of the question. It's, I don't know. Sometimes I think it's good to bang your head against the wall, and other times I think it just leads to a concussion like most football players. So maybe we should table the question for some other time, because it looks like we're going to get nowhere very fast.
Okay, no, you're actually right. No, I was talking about something. My question is, do you believe the temperature of the sun is this for hot use?
100% on the input, somebody's jamming you.
Okay, so I'm going to give up.
G2RY?
Yes, David?
This is a TechNet. Can I ask a different kind of technical question?
Yeah, David, very 100% on the input. All you guys are 100% on the input. Somebody is jamming the input of the repeater, KD2FIU.
This is WS2N. You know, we don't discuss whether or not there's a problem or not like that. Just let that go, and let's go over to the station that wants to bring up a different topic.
Okay, this is KG2RY. Roy, what would be the best inexpensive way to make an antenna for 220, like a dipole or a J-pole or a loop, that, you know, I can hang in the window? Go ahead.
G2FIU. The simplest in my mind personally is a dipole. You take out your little slide rule, your calculator, 468 divided by the frequency in megahertz gives you the number of feet. You take a little zip wire, measure out that length, and connect it to your radio, and you're on the air. J-poles are actually a little esoteric. They're half-wave antennas with matching stubs. That's what that J portion, the little tail of the J portion, is a matching stub. But, you know, you could do it different ways. But to me, personally, the simplest approach is either a dipole or a quarter wave. It's very easy to do. You measure out the length. You get yourself an SO-238 connector that's supposed to be in a chassis. It has four holes to screw into a chassis. You use those four holes to put wire for the ground at 45-degree angle. You put one wire straight up the pin and measure it to the quarter wavelength of that frequency, and you're there.
G2FIU, I got something. Was the number I was looking for.
G2FIU, I got some. The best thing to do for that is, you said for 220. Did you say for 220?
Yes, sir.
A window line. Window line antenna wire. Stub it at the top. And then stub it at the bottom with an open feed. With a parallel feed. And then cut it. Cut it. You got to measure this and look at the dimensions. You're going to find it in many antenna manuals. It might come out to be about 2 feet long with window line antenna, 450 ohm window line antenna. And that's what you want to do. You want to put it in the window. Hang it in the window. It's going to be the perfect antenna. Look it up on the net.
Call it window line?
Window line antenna feed. That's your 450 ohm. It's not going to be called twin lead because that's much wider, much more wide, 6 inches, 600 ohm. Window lead, window line, 450 ohm antenna, window design lead antenna wire. And you cut it, you actually cut it to the height that you need, and you stub it 1 1/4/8 inch above with a parallel feed, and then you cut it, I forgot how far above, on one side, that's the whole antenna. That will, you cannot get any better than that.
QSL, QSL.
Repeater, timeout. Repeater, timeout. Cancel.
It's right there in my attic for 2 meters. And it's so simple, and it's window line wire, the 450 ohm. It's just shy of a 1 inch in diameter with window plastic spacing in between it. Okay, the 20-ohm solid lead wire. That's it. Window line, it's called. It makes great antennas for VHF.
Sal, thank you, George. I'm looking here at the 220 megahertz Slim Jim roll-up antenna to fit any HT, so I couldn't connect it directly to the HT. This thing is really rather inexpensive. Do you think it's any good?
Oh, wait a minute. If you're looking for a product, N9, November 9, TAX. November 9 TAX sells them for about $20.
November 9, T is in Tom, A is in Apple, X is in X-ray.
Yeah, correct. These cells are already made for about $20. It's the simplest thing you can do for VHF. KD2FIU.
Cell, I'm looking.
I made my own because I had seen it the ARRL antenna manual. That will work, KD2FIU.
KD2FIU from KG2RY. I'm looking to see which one works on the 220.
I think N9TAX makes it for all of them. And, yeah, he does. He makes it for a 2440, a 2 meter alone. He makes it for a 220, $20-$25, shipped to you, rolled up in a U.S. postage paid envelope. I know people that have done that, but I had done it earlier myself by the ARRL manual. It's a very, very nice design. And it's regular 450 ohm window line wire. It works incredible for VHF.
SL, I'm on the website, but I don't see it here. Maybe I'm on the wrong website.
Number 9 Tango Alpha X-ray. I don't know if he's still selling them. He makes them. He's made hundreds of thousands of these. Like I said, I pumped one up myself. It was excellent. You gave me a 50 ohm counterpoise by a 1 1/8 inch short below a parallel feed of good quality coax below it.
So I'm looking here to see if I can find the 220, the 220 antenna.
David, look at original VHF Slim Jim antenna. It's a custom tuning. He tunes on a custom level. If you ask him for a 222, he'll custom tune it for that.
Thanks. Let's see. I think maybe I just got to send this man an email.
Dave, this is all tried and true design for, stealth. VHF antennas.
So, yeah, I got to send him an email. I think it's the only way I'm going to get the information that I want. An inexpensive 220 megahertz antenna, that would be like the best thing.
November 9 Tango Alpha X-ray, I think it was. Maybe I'm wrong with that, Dave. But he's the one who makes the N9TAX.
Yeah, it's like a J pole. The Nelson antennas, they also make a J pole for like $28. Let me write to N9TAX and see what he's got.
Not quite J-pole. No, it's not J-pole because J-pole has a stubbing capacity against the base of the radiator, all right? And it doesn't give you the true frequency of the bands that you want. It puts you in the region of the bands you want. But a J-pole is good. The J-pole is good, but it doesn't give you the true frequency because one length of radiator stubs against and cancels against one leg of the other radiator. And when you do it with 450 ohm, it is far superior. The 450 ohm window line antennae will do it far superior. The closeness of it and the way you can cut it, its design, it's in all the antenna books, but this one guy does it for about $20 or $25. Really good.
Right to him, thank you.
AC2GS.
Very right, go ahead.
Okay, it's called a Slim Jim. It sort of looks like a loop with a gap. It's a little complicated exactly how it works, but it's called a Slim Jim. If you Google Slim Jim, it's all over the place. And he apparently sells it for $19.99. You just have to tell him what band you want, and he cuts it for that length. How much shipping is added, I don't know. But the cost, according to the website, is $19.99.
Well, thank you.
And that's if you want to buy it. I mean, I picked it up in a manual some years ago and made it. It's like tried and true. And that's what I'm on. I made one for 2 meters. I walked 90 miles with it.
Okay, I think we're done on this subject. Are we done? Any other comments?
Thank you, George. Thank you, Roy. And thank you, Wes. KG2RY.
KG2, yes, hello to the gentleman in the car.
Roger, Roger. Yeah, thank you for the good company. I'm on 664, back to my QCH, Harrison, New York, in Westchester County. My name is Joe, and this is Kim Quinn Yankee Whiskey.
Yes, Joe, I recognize your voice and your call sign, and unfortunately you're kind of picket fencing, so I'm not getting every single word, but I remember when you used to check in to the TechNet almost every week with a question.
Roger that. When I'm home, I'll check with the net again. And, yeah, thanks for recognizing me. And, yeah, usually Tick Tick does the net, the check man stuff. But, alright, I'll give it to the.
Yes, if some people didn't take it seriously, I would joke to say that I've hogtied him in the basement and I've commandeered his net. But no, he's picking up his wife in the airport, and he'll be back next Sunday. Everything will go back exactly as it was meant to go back. And as far as, you know, we're coming up to the magic hour when the repeater gets turned off, so let me just very, very quickly to Wes. I think he was asking about whether you can kind of build a fusion reactor in your home. You can't build a tritium shield that can stop with number of lasers if you have about $1 of electric, but put in your garage. The quick answer to Wesley's question, they're not quite yet. It was kind of like Mr. Fusion, and someday it might be like that, but who knows what someone will do with something like that.
Broken up, they need calibration calls.
Anyway, I think it's amazing that we got this far, so I would like to thank everyone out there who stuck around to listen to me and to Paul, and thank Paul especially for kind of co-hosting with me tonight after Dick left, and I hope to get a lot of emails. Again, it's techmed@ac2gs.com, and give me some questions, and I will give them to Dick, and we'll do something next week. So this is Alpha Charlie 2 Golf Sierra. Do you have any kind of closing statements for tonight?
Very good. Thanks for coming on board. Very good. We'll be looking forward to email again. You know, we haven't had that in months and months and months and months. And it was always a great part of the net. And I think both Mel and John would have been very happy to have somebody of your caliber joining and taking over. Thank you for that, AC2GS. Well, this has been the TechNet. Dick usually gives us a number. I think it's 1,671. And it's in SpaceNet Report 271. We'll be back next week. We'll do the same thing all over again, hopefully, and we'll say 73. Have a good night, and back to you, Roy. Any other last comments, you have it.
Well, Paul, thank you so much for those kind words. And in the words of a great guy that we all miss, I'll talk to you guys all down the lot. So, 73, and this is Alpha Charlie 2 Golf Sierra, going clear and getting the heck out of here. Have a good night's sleep, everyone. And remember, Dick's coming back next Sunday.
73, Roy, KQFIU. Very good. KD2EJ, KD2FIU.
The time is 12:04 a.m. 73, and good night from the W2VL repeater. Net tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL Amateur Radio Repeater System. Net tonight at 8:30 W2VL repeater system.
Thank you for visiting the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club repeater system, node number 9126 on the New England reflector.
Link clear.
Auto connecting.
Node number 9126.
Welcome to the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club repeater system, node number 9126 on the New England reflector.
Link active.
Welcome to the W2VL repeater.
Thank you.
Net tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL Amateur Radio Repeater System.
Thank you.
Net tonight at 8:30. Welcome to the W2VL repeater.